Our speaker tonight, Maureen from Colts Neck, New Jersey.
My name is Maureen. I'm alcoholic. Just worried about the fan and the dress thing. I told Barbara she's in charge of that because we don't need any of that. My sobriety date is January 21st, 2007, and I'm truly grateful for that. And it's by the grace of God, sponsorship in AA, that I can be here tonight. I want to thank Barbara for making the trek out here. We had pretty much a tornado on the way here. Saw trees down and, you know, but anybody going for a drink's not going to stop. So we kept going. We're like, all right, it's got to get better. I mean, it's got to stop. You know, and I have a new little Subaru, so we're like, all right, let's see what this thing does. All right, you know, I grew up from Jersey. My parents, I'm number four baby, and you know, growing up, we're a typical dysfunctional family. You know, it's like my mom's parents drank, and so, you know, anything that I did was always, you know, hidden, you know. It's kind of like, oh, it didn't happen the next day. So that was great for me. Any trouble I got into, I knew that night would stink, but, you know, going forward, you know, I would not be in any trouble. And I use that to my advantage a lot. You know, I have an older brother that's 12 years older than me. My sister's 10 years older than me. And then my other brother's 2 years older than me. So we had a big gap. And, you know, so you know, the first time I had a cigarette, I was six. My sister was smoking since she was 16, and they thought it was funny to, like, let me have a cigarette. You know, and I was drinking on the weekends by the time I was 11. You know, and I look at my nephew, who's 11 now, who wants to play hide-and-seek, and I can't imagine, like, how that goes into play with, you know, me, like, okay, can I get a four-pack of wine coolers? Like, I just don't get it. But, you know, I still don't act my age, and so I don't think I acted like an adult at 11. But, you know, I had hung out with older people, so that's what happened. And, you know, I was always a bad kid. You know, it was the attention. Like, I wanted the attention, but I didn't want you to look at me, like, now. Like, it's like, I don't want the attention, but, like, you know, it's kind of like, I'll do it, but don't look at me while I do it. You know, and so I would do things. You know, it's like my mom was very sick when I was growing up. You know, she had kidney taken out. She was in the hospital for like 3 months in ICU. So, like, my grandmother, you know, pretty much raised us. So we were just, you know, just bad kids. And, you know, my grandmother would be like, oh, we're calling your dad. You know, it's like we were just bad. You know, eventually I got kicked out of high school and sent to alternative school. And I was the first class to do the alternative school, and it was great for someone who drank. It was from 4 to 8 at night, so I'm like, I didn't have to get up early the next day, and, you know, drank all night. So, and then you're with other people like me, so it was like just eliminated all the people that studied and, you know, went to school and cared. It was like just hang out with people like me, and you know, we terrorized those teachers. You know, I did go back and make amends to them eventually. But, you know, I was just bad. You know, I threw a desk. Like, I don't think, you know, I look like I would throw a desk, but I threw a desk at the teacher. I didn't like what she had to say, and I threw a desk, and then I just walked out. You know, these are the kind of things that, you know, it's like I would do and not think anything of it. You know, most of the time I was under the influence. You know, we drank right before class, you know, on our break. It was, you know, really, that's all I did. Eventually I got arrested, and I had just turned 18, so it wasn't my first time in trouble, by no means, but it was my first, like, legal one that was really, you know, got me in a lot of trouble. And I had my sister's car. I lived in Cliffwood Beach and Old Bridge by Staten Island. I don't know if you guys familiar, and I had my sister's car, and I wasn't supposed to take it out of the neighborhood, and I ended up in Fort Lee, New Jersey, with her car, and the guy that I was with took a bus over to the city. I get approached by two undercover cops and ask me if my name was Maureen, my last name. And I was like, what? Like, how did they know me? Like, I was clueless, you know, so that they were undercover cops. And I was like, what am I going to say? Like, they already knew who I was. And, you know, I was type of one that would tease my mom, and I, you know, hear the guy calling because I was still in school, and I heard the guy calling my mom, and like, no, ma'am, we're not kidding. And I was like, it's going to be bad. Because I would call her and be like, where are you? I'm in jail. I mean, I would be in Atlantic City. You know, I was 15. I went to North Carolina. I mean, those are the things that I would torture this poor woman. You know, I just never, I thought no consequences, no rules. I just was out of control 100% all the time. You know, until this time, she couldn't get me out of it. You know, most of the time, she could get me out of whatever I did. She would come to the school and whatever, but this was like big time now. And she came up and got in. My sister's car got impounded. And, you know, that was a long ride home from Fort Lee. But again, like, I really didn't have a lot of, like, consequences besides, like, now the law was going to give me some. You know, my dad never knew about it. Like, my dad's not, he's from Italy. So he never went to school. He just, you know, came over when he was 16, started working, and, you know, my grandfather got him a job as a longshoreman, so he did very well for himself, for someone who didn't, you know, go to school and, you know, provided for us, you know, all the time. He worked two jobs, you know, but he just never knew what was going on. Like, I was in rehab, and, you know, they would tell people I was at the mall. Like, it was like, it just wasn't normal. Like, my mom just hid everything because of her parents drinking and, you know, and when my grandfather died, my grandmother just stopped drinking. No AA, just stopped. And, you know, and so I knew, like, it was in our family history on both sides. You know, after I got arrested, I was court mandated to go to outpatient, and that didn't work in my plans. So I ended up getting sent from New Jersey to Arizona to a halfway house. I had already went to a couple rehabs, a mental institution that we actually bring a commitment to, that's no longer the mental institution, but, I had visited there when I was in school. And so I got sent to Arizona, and I was 20 years old the first time I got sober. I'm a lot older now. And I was sent out there to a halfway house with 40 women. I didn't like women. I hung out with guys. Like, I was like, no. And, you know, I did the same thing. I started hanging out with people that, you know, were like me. I had to work within a mile of where we were. So I didn't stay sober for the first couple of months. And then I don't know what happened when I was out there. I got a sponsor, started a little bit, not serious, but like a little bit, getting into the steps. And, you know, I started changing a little bit. And so, you know, I came clean with not being sober the whole time, because if you weren't sober, obviously they would kick you out of the halfway house, and I was court mandated. And, you know, so I came clean, and they kicked me out. But it was already like 2 months, and so I was 60 days sober, kicked out in Arizona where I knew nobody, and I was riding the city bus because I had nowhere to go. But I stayed sober, and, you know, my sponsor at the time, you know, they let me back in after 3 days. They kicked you out for 3 days if you were drinking, and even though I wasn't at the time, it still applied. And so I got kicked out, went back, you know, and I started working the steps. I started doing things that they suggested. And, you know, at 5 years sober, I was dating my sponsor's brother, which I don't suggest, but that's what I was doing. And he lived in Iowa. We started talking. Her whole family lived in Iowa. And I moved out to Iowa, which was now like from Arizona, Iowa, like culture shock. You know, I was 5 years sober, and I moved. And, you know, once I moved, you know, it's like, you know, you're new to the rooms, but you're not new in general. So it's hard. It's, you know, unless you really put in the work, which, you know, I've failed at that several times in moving, but unless you put in the work and you go and you tell them and, you know, you show up and you let people know and get to know people, you can get lost in AA. You know, I can sit in the back and I can come in late and I can leave early and no one will notice me. You know, unless you raise, you know, we only say, is anyone new here tonight? You know, not anyone here sitting here dying and struggling and just moved here and doesn't know anybody, you know, so you have to do the work and I should have known better, you know, so, you know, I was 5 years sober. I moved out there. You know, that relationship didn't work, for many, many reasons, which is good. But, you know, I went to school and I started going to school and, you know, I was going to college and, you know, that became more important than AA. You know, it's like, how can I do both? I work two jobs and go to school and, you know, it's like, you can do it. I've seen a lot of people do it, but when you're not connected, you don't have your friends, you know, your network or whatever, your sponsor there. Like, my sponsor was still in Arizona at the time and, you know, so I pretty much got lost in the rooms and, you know, in 8.5 years of, you know, sobriety, I, you know, I have a health condition, which, you know, now since 2009, I have to do IVs on myself. I was taught that at home. And, you know, but before that, I was on steroids. I was on, you know, and it just would send me to the hospital a lot. And every time I went, I would tell them the same story. Like, I'm in recovery, I don't want any of this, I don't want any of that. Because I don't know about anybody else, but anytime I went to the hospital prior to AA, no one offered me nothing. Like, now I go and they're like, you want this? It's like, they're handing it out, like, all right. And, you know, it's like, now I'm like, no, no, thank, oh, you would have gave me that? No, you know? Dang. You know, and it, but it's true. It's like now it's like so common that they just, you know, I mean, not so more now, that big epidemic, but, you know, at this time it was 2007. It wasn't as bad as it is now. But so I would give them the same spiel, like, I don't want anything, you know, and because, you know, I was dating someone in AA that, you know, he went back out after 2 years and he was started drinking NyQuil. So it's like I knew that I didn't want anything because I don't know what's going to, you know, trigger that. You know, it's like, I don't know what it's going to be. Could it be NyQuil? Then I'm like, drink, you know, I don't know. So I didn't want anything. You know, but at, if I'm not going to meetings, I'm not working the steps, I'm not working with anybody, miserable, just existing in AA, that stuff starts sounding all right, you know. Like, I went to the hospital and, you know, I didn't tell them this time, you know, and they, you know, gave me stuff and, you know, not only under normal circumstances that would have been totally fine, but the fact that I asked for more when I wasn't in any pain was not okay with me. And then, you know, lying about it. You know, my sponsor would ask me, like, you know, when I was still in Iowa, like, my sponsor at the time would ask me, like, oh, you know, what happened, what'd they do, you know, whatever. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, all of a sudden I forgot the word, you know, that I was so excited about. You know, and it's like, you know, lying. So right away I was lying. You know, 8.5 years sober and I was like off. You know, so I was going, I was out drinking, probably 6 to 8 months or something like that. I don't really know, the exact timeline. We try to figure it out, just can't. You know, and at this time, my mom became ill. And my mom had breast cancer. It was in 2005. And, but, it, you know, it came back in 2007. And, you know, I was, my mom had no idea, you know, that I went back out. I was in Iowa at the time. And so I would come back to meetings and I would stand up, you know, at my home group that I had commitments and, you know, all this stuff. And I would come back and I'd have a day. And then, you know, the next Tuesday I would come back, I'd have a day. You know, so it was like I was just kept trying. You know, the first time that I got sober, I just came into AA and I was like, you know, I didn't have to, like, try. I was court mandated. Not that, there's anything wrong with that. I mean, that's great. But I just didn't try to get sober. And I just thought I could just come back. And, you know, that proved to me that I cannot. And to be grateful for that I'm here and I can stay. You know, because it was, you know, everybody I knew was in AA at that time. And all my friends, and I had, you know, two people that I was really close with that lived in my apartment complex that I thought were, like, spying on me. Like, the AA people were, like, peeking in my windows as I was drinking, which they weren't, but paranoia, you know. And, you know, and so I just kept going. And, you know, one of the times my sponsor picked me up and she's like, oh, you need to go to some GSR event. And I was not sober, but she wanted me to go anyway. I was, like, laying out in the lawn, like, just outside. And it was like, yeah, it's the whole, like, you know, it's head full of AA, belly full of beer type thing. It's like, does not work for me. And, you know, then I finally, on January 21st, you know, my sponsor picked me up for a meeting. And, you know, I was like, I can't do this anymore. You know, I was, like, throwing out everything, and I'm, like, a germaphobe, and I was dumpster diving for the stuff that I threw out, that I was like, all right, I'm done, I'm not going to do it anymore, and I would throw it in my dumpster, because it was as far away from my apartment as it could be, and I literally was, like, in the bushes looking for stuff, in my dumpster, pulling out my garbage, and it's, like, so gross to me now, but it's, like, that I didn't care, I didn't even think about it. I literally, you know, my neighbor was like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I lost my keys. Like, I don't know. You know, it's like I didn't think twice about it. It was like, you know, that's what I'm doing. And, you know, so I told my sponsor, I was like, I can't do this anymore. And she's like, no, you can't, but we can. Why don't you let us help you? And I was like, oh, all right. And so that was January 21st, 2007, and you know, I was still living in Iowa at the time, and, you know, my mom was sick still, and, my mom's cancer, you know, we have the paperwork, it says it was gone, and, you know, it came back, and, she did one round of chemo, and that was pretty much it, so I was January or October. I think it was 9 months sober. I came out to Jersey and, you know, my mom was like 14 days and she passed away. You know, so I'm 9 months sober, 30 years old at this time. And, you know, I was like, didn't think I would stay sober through that whatsoever. And, you know, my sponsor was like, why don't you go there and, you know, be there for your dad who lost his wife in 43 years, or be there for my nephew who lost his grandmother, and, you know, show him what AA could really do, and, you know, be of service. And, you know, because it's like, I want it to be about me. Like, I lost my mom. Like, you know, whatever. But I did. I went there, and I held my dad up, and walked him through everything, and in between, I served people food, and it's like, that is not me. You know, that's AA. You know, me is, like, in the corner in a bowl crying, like, how could this happen to me, you know? And, you know, so it was, like, I was able to suit up and show up, like everybody in AA has taught me to do for my mom's funeral. Like, crazy. Like, I would never have thought that I would have done that. You know, and so being out in Iowa when my mom passed, it was like, I just never felt, you know, right living out there. Like, I felt like I couldn't, I was, like, anxious. Like, something else was going to happen. I couldn't get here fast enough. Felt bad that my sister was doing everything for my dad. And I could be helpful to people in AA, and I can't be helpful to my family who needed it. You know, it's like my dad never did anything. My mom did everything. You know, bills, you know, all that stuff. So at 5 years sober, I decided to move back home. So now it's been 7 years now. And again, I did the same thing moving here. I was like, I just went to meetings and wasn't, you know, getting connected right away. And I went to my home group, which is Colts Neck, Steps by the Book, on Tuesday night. My dad lives in Jackson, and I went there, and I met my sponsor now, and I went up to her, and I was like, I have a stupid question. And she was like, no, honey, there's no stupid questions. I'm like, now she knows there's stupid questions, but after sponsoring me for a while. But, you know, it was weird out here, the home groups and non-home group. Like, it was, you know, Iowa and Arizona, it's all different. Like, out here, it has to be, like, a speaker meeting that's usually the home group. I don't know. So I asked her if it was a home group, because someone else told me it wasn't a home group unless I went Thursday. So I was totally confused. And so, which is the normal for me anyway, so it kind of fixed. But, you know, I asked her that, and, you know, she told me. And, you know, we had seen each other throughout the years. I lived in Bradley Beach at the time. After Hurricane Sandy, I moved to Bradley Beach and then went back. And, you know, I moved to Freehold, bought a condo. You know, all things that I would have never thought, you know, I mean, I robbed your house. Like, I bought a condo. Like, it doesn't make any sense in my storyline of the horrible person I was that AA turned me into a good person. But, you know, that's what happened. And so I moved to Freehold. And, you know, I wasn't really, you know, my sponsors, like, describes it as, like, I was sitting there and just dying in the rooms. And, you know, I wasn't really going to meetings. I wasn't really, you know, I wanted to, you know, basically kill myself. I'm like supposed to be out here helping, and without working these steps and going through the book with anybody, and being sponsored, really, I wasn't sponsored. Like, she lived in Iowa and she didn't know what I was not doing here. You know, it's like, I wasn't getting any better. It was getting worse. And, you know, my sponsor in Iowa, you know, basically fired me. So, you know, it was like, I was just waiting for her to do it, because I didn't have the guts to, like, say it myself. So I was like, yes, please fire me, do something, because I can't do it. You know, and it wasn't, you know, like I said, I wasn't working any kind of stuff. And I maybe was going to a meeting every other week, or if that. You know, it was my poor dog. I was just sitting home watching TV, going to work, and that was it. No wonder why now she has anxiety when I leave, because I never left. You know, and so I was friends with Iris prior to her sponsoring me, and, you know, she was probably like, oh God, please no, but, you know, I couldn't think of anyone else, but, you know, it's like, I've heard her story and, you know, seen her in action. It's like, I knew, you know, if anyone's going to take me through the book and know the book the way she knows the book, like, I wanted her to sponsor me. And, you know, so she started sponsoring me. And what that looked like is, like, really had to start doing some work, you know. And it's like, I have been in Alcoholics Anonymous, not continuously, obviously, but since 1997. And to say that, like, I never really had an experience with the big book as I've had, you know, going through it with her, you know, is sad. It's like, I really, you know, I'm a great starter, but a terrible finisher. It's like, I get all like, yes, let me do this. Let me work these steps. Yes, I'll go to that meeting. I'll do this. And then it's like Tuesday, and I'm like, no, I don't want to go. I'm like, Law and Order, like something, you know, like it's hot, raining, blizzard, whatever. And, you know, so it's like, I balk, you know, I want to feel good. I don't want to do the work to feel good. I just want you to, like, give it to me. And she's like, I am giving it to you. You got to do the work to get it. Oh, all right. You know, so it's like we started sitting down at her kitchen table and going through the book. And, you know, it's like I've read the book not only in meetings with people, in groups, on tape, CD, whatever, both aging myself. But, you know, the way that she's explained it to me and, like, literally made the book come alive to me and explained it, you know, I never would have had that experience. And, you know, it's like the first thing she had me do was, like, write my conception of God. And, you know, I've always been like, oh, that's not for me. I don't really like that. It's like, no, you know, it's like, I'm the one that got kicked out of CCD classes, which I don't even know if you can, but they literally told my mom not to bring me back. And so I just thought, like, I'm not allowed in church, and so I thought that was God. And, you know, it was explained many a time that that is not God, and you don't have to, like, you know, it's great that, you know, I sponsor someone that goes to church, and that's great for them. You know, it's not me, and I don't have to find God in church. But I found it in AA, and I found it watching you guys grow and your experiences. And, you know, it's like my mom always believed in, like, signs. And, you know, it's to me, that those are my little God things. Like, if someone walks past me and says my mom's name or whatever, it's like when I'm thinking of her, it's like comforting. Like, why wouldn't I want to be comforted by something, you know? And it's like to have my life change. You know, so I wrote my conception of God, you know, and today it's changed a lot since the first time I wrote that. You know, it's like I've, you know, never really consistently, you know, until now, you know, got up and prayed, you know, prayed before I went to bed. You know, it's like I do the third step, seventh step, and 11th step in the morning. You know, now it's like on my app on my phone, but, you know, it's like, whatever gets me to do it, you know, and I get on my knees and I, you know, ask God to keep me sober and sane today. You know, these are things I didn't do. Not because I just, lazy, I guess, because it's not that I didn't think it was working for you, but I didn't think it would work for me. I don't know. You know, and it's like I, you know, started, when I started working the steps and, you know, I was able to see my part and stuff. You know, when we did the third step, we actually went, she took me to Bill Wilson's house, and we did the third step at his gravesite. And, you know, it's like, I felt that. You know, it's like I definitely, you know, those spiritual experiences, like, I've had here. You know, and when we started working on the fourth step, I was like, you know, I'm like, I've already did them. I'm good. I'm like, how are we going to do them? She's like, how well has that been working in your life? And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and she's like, when you, you know, when you master these, and it's like, when I master, like, what affects me and, you know, my character defects, it's like, you know, I would be so much more peaceful because I didn't sleep. You know, even at a 10-year, whatever it was at the time, like, I wasn't sleeping. You know, I couldn't lay my head down and go to sleep. Like, now, I have the Fitbit, so it tells me. Like, I immediately go into a deep sleep when I hit the pillow. That has not been the case. I've not slept, like, normal in a really long time. I mean, I would literally would be up and it'd be like, all right, let's take you back to 1980, you know, like, and I would be up, and then it's like, I'm on my phone, and then it's like, whoa, what happened in Facebook in the last 5 minutes, like, nothing, people are sleeping, nobody's doing anything, nobody's posting, go to bed, you know, and it's like, I would just start thinking of things that I did, I shouldn't have did, you know, and it's like, so much easier to, like, do a little inventory of what happens and move on. But, you know, I started, you know, writing my four step down. You know, and the way that, you know, she had me do it was column by column. You know, and I think, you know, I don't think I've done it that way before because I probably, like she said, would have stopped or, you know, thought, well, I didn't really do it. Let me cross that out, wipe that out. Like, by the time I get to the end of that one person, you could see how wrong they were. Like, why would she keep having me continue? Like, they're wrong, and that's why I'm resentful. And, you know, it's like the way that I did it is, like, the person, you know, it's like each column, and then it's like, oh, I'm really a bad person. You know, it's like you look at it totally different than going across the first person. You know, and then sharing that with her. And, you know, she's the type that always has an answer, always has, you know, me and Barbara was talking about that, she always has an answer for me. It's a good one or a bad one, she always has an answer. And, you know, and it was like to be questioned, like, I don't know if anyone's really questioned me about anything that I've said, like, why do you think that? And I'm like, wait, what? Like, I have to, like, answer that? You know, and be honest. Like, that's my thing. It's like, I am a comfortable liar. I'm comfortable in that area. Like, I'm not comfortable with the truth. And, you know, it's like to, you know, tell the truth is uncomfortable for me. And, like, today that's not the case. Like, I can tell you the truth because I don't have to think about it. Like, who did I tell that to? And it's very big in my family. It's huge. It's like how they communicate. And it's hard for me to, like, now that you have text messages, you have proof, but, you know, it's hard for me to keep up with them because I'm like, this is the answer. Like, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to, you know, tell anybody anything else. It's like, this is how it is. And, you know, so to go through that fifth step and, you know, see my part in it and know that it's like, I'm not a terrible person, but by no means do I have any right to judge anybody ever, ever, ever. And, you know, I'm very good at taking your inventory, but my own, it's like, I don't see my part right away. You know, and after doing, you know, many four steps, it's like, I could see my part prior to getting to that column, you know. But having her sit down, and not in a way that I felt, you know, like, oh, why is she doing this to me? This is terrible. You know, just being like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't see that before, whatever the case may be. And, you know, it's like, I knew, you know, some of my character defects, and I liked them, so I didn't really want to get rid of them. I thought that that was my personality. I thought, well, why would I want to get rid of that? Like, that's me. I didn't know who I was, you know, and today it's like, I don't want to be that person. You know, I didn't come to AA to, like, be that person. And, you know, so knowing them and knowing, like, the spiritual opposite of what I could do to be better, you know, and it's not like I didn't know the things I was doing was wrong. It's like, you know, now it's like I have a conscience about it. It's like I don't have to do that to, like, be, you know, it's like it's always about, for me, it's always about, like, my ego, my pride, like, they're talking down to me. They know who I am, smarter than that. But I don't want to do the work to be getting that better job. I don't want to be the manager, but I want to tell the manager how to do it. I don't see. I think she needs help, so, you know. And I get told on a daily basis she doesn't need my help and that I am not there to help her manage people. So I get, okay. You know, and today it's like I don't have to open my mouth because I always like to get the last word, and that's not very popular, you know, at work. And so, you know, and you know, like, we're working on 10th step, 11th step, and, you know, it's like my sponsor describes, like, the 10th step is like the fire extinguisher step. So it's like I'm walking around daily, like, putting out fires that I most likely create. You know, and you know, I listened to, Barbara actually came with me to that one, too. We went to Princeton and spoke on the 10th step, and I was listening to Joe and Charlie's tape, and, you know, on YouTube. And they, you know, he was saying, it's like, I literally can take something so small and, like, make it huge. Like, it's the worst thing in the world that happened. You know, and it's like, all I have to do is take 5 minutes, 2 minutes, and write it out, figure it out. Like, what is, you know, it's like, what's affecting me here? Most likely it's my pride. You know, whatever it may be, my ego, you know, it's like, what is it, what's affecting it? Because once I figure that out, you know, it's like, that problem's not so big anymore. It's probably not even a problem. It's probably just somebody said something like, hi, how are you? And I, like, went off the wall, you know? But it's like, once I do that, I can move on. You know, there's things that's happened that I've thought about for weeks. Like, weeks. Not a day. And, you know, just going over in my head, it's like, how much do I suffer and everyone around me suffer for me going over that one thing for weeks? You know, and it's like, that's what the steps are for. It's like, on a daily basis, I need to be doing them, especially if I have something going on. you know, in step 11, you know, my sponsor has me writing them down and sending them to her. And, you know, she has a little, like, checklist. And, you know, it's like the spiritual opposites. Like, if I'm being intolerant or impatient, you know, it's like, what else can I be doing? Like, obviously, having more patience. You know, it's like I help take care of my dad, and he's very, very trying. Like, me and my sister were like, we're going to have a talk with my mother when I get up there about what she left us. But, you know, it's like I have to have patience. Like, I don't treat a newcomer or a sick person like that, and that's, you know, basically what he is. And, you know, and it's like, so I get to do the opposite, on a daily basis. Like, I get to, you know, not treat people like, you know, she'll tell me all the time, like, how would you like it if someone treated you like that? It's like, ow, I don't think they should treat me like that, but I'll treat you like that. You know, and it's like, I don't want to be that person. Like, I know, how it feels, when, you know, you get treated like that. And, you know, that, you know, I heard somebody recently was talking about, it's like, I never thought about any of this, like, resentment, like, harms for AA. Like, I didn't walk around thinking, well, I'm resentful that they did that. Like, I was always like, this guy did this, you know? And it's like, to be, like, I see people, especially, like, in my family, like, walk around about holding something that happened maybe 15, you know, it's like, that's no way to live. And it's like, I don't want to live like that. You know, definitely just an easier, softer way, you know, working the steps and working through it. You know, and in the morning, you know, my sponsor has me write a gratitude list because I forget, you know, it's like I forget, like, that I was robbing your house and your jewelry looked nice, but it looked better in my pocket. Like, I forget these things. Like, I don't think of that. Like, I think, you know, that I earned all this stuff. Like, like, the things that I did in the life that I lived, I don't deserve the stuff that I have. That's my opinion. Someone argued with me on that. Like, don't. I don't care. It's my opinion. Like, I feel like I don't deserve the life. You know, and, you know, it's like, I see, you know, just recently we were talking on the way up, you know, that three people died, you know, that we go to meetings with, you know, because of alcoholism or drug addiction, whatever. And I can't even tell you the countless amount of people that, I've, you know, witnessed die, you know, go out that night and die. Since 1997, I've been to a lot of funerals. You know, and it's like, who gets to decide? Like, you know, who thinks that, you know, going out, whatever, that's going to happen? Nobody. Like, I know that, you know, I wasn't having the greatest self-esteem about myself when I went out, but I didn't think I was going to die. I just thought, I was 20 years old. Like, that, I probably overshot the mark. Like, I really didn't need to get sober. I was court mandated. Like, all these things. And, like, that's alcoholism playing the tape in my head. Like, I don't know. Like, I'll be fine. You know, and it's, like, that quick. Like, I was drinking as much as I was drinking back then I was pretty much that night. And, you know, it's, like, I just can't handle it. But it's, like, how grateful that all I had to do is come to AA and work these steps. And, you know, get to stay here. You know, and someone just recently told my sister that, like, you get to do this and get to do that. And she thought it was, like, the most genius thing. And I was like, yeah, I've been telling you that. Like, that's in AA. It's hot here, right? And, you know, my sister, the last time I was actually here was January 21st. My sponsor spoke, and my sister, on January 8th, went into cardiac arrest, and I got to the hospital when they were doing CPR on her, and that, you know, is the worst thing that I've experienced. I work in a hospital, I see them do it all the time, but it's not the same when they're doing it on your family member, and, you know, my sister's a miracle. you know, and she's working through a lot of stuff that's like getting sober again, you know, and she's come out the other side. Like, I was listening on my phone, I was looking for a prayer that my sponsor gave me, and I was listening to the doctors. I recorded them because I was up for so long that I couldn't understand them. You know, she was on a life support, full life support, ECMO machine, you know, all this stuff, and 50 years old, just cardiac arrest, that was it. She dropped my nephew off at school for my brother and towed it. And luckily it was a witness one in the hospital, but, you know, it's like I got to be there, you know, and I ended up being power of attorney for my sister, and, you know, because my dad, you know, like I said, from Italy, and, you know, couldn't do that. And my brother, we hadn't talked to in 5 years. He's back in our lives from that night. And so, you know, I got to, like, do these things that if I wasn't sober, I would have never done. And, you know, and thank God she's, you know, fine. I mean, you know, she's, you know, definitely a miracle. You know, and we were talking on the way up here. It's like, you know, she's just starting to, like, ask about certain things and, you know, and, you know, she was like, well, I don't understand that. You know, it's like, I get that. Like, I, you know, coming into AA, it's like I had to learn things over that I never knew. You know, it's like I, you know, it's like when I came to AA, like, I didn't even know how to, like, separate my clothes to wash them. Like, I didn't know how to make my bed. Like, you know, it's like I didn't know anything. Like, I literally grew up in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, there was nothing that I did prior to that. And, you know, it's like today, it's like, you know, I get to be an adult. I get to go to work and, you know, work the steps. And, you know, just recently I was voted in to do our speakers for our home group. And, you know, I'm excited about it. I'm, like, excited to go to Tuesday night. I'm excited to, you know, we have speakers that come in and we go through the book and we go line through line, and the speaker, you know, speaks, and we leave some time at the end to share. But I'm, like, excited to go to the meeting. It was getting kind of like I wasn't excited to go to that home group. And, you know, there's just a lot of different things going on, and I wasn't happy about my home group. And I've always been, like, happy about my home group, and I just wasn't. And I wanted to switch, and, you know, my sponsor started that meeting 21 years ago, and, you know, she's had work stuff, so she hasn't been able to, like, get it in her schedule. And, you know, we were just hanging on and, like, talking to Barbara, and I'm like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. You know, it's like, I just didn't want to go. And I hated that feeling because I need AA. Like, I need to be here. You know, I need to be even here tonight driving in the tornado we drove in. It's like, I need AA. You know, and it's like, you know, I'm excited about going. I'm excited who's coming, and I get to meet them. And I'm meeting people in AA doing service. And it's like working with others. And it's like that's what I've been taught. You know, and I see my sponsor do it. It's like she knows so many people in AA. It's like, you know, thanks to Warren for asking me to come and speak. You know, I met her through Iris speaking here. You know, and you know, if you're here and not loving AA, it's like positions are it. You know, it's like I know Tuesday night, you know, I could make an excuse if I wasn't chairing, you know, it's easy to do. You know, the weather's bad, it's hot, whatever the case may be, it's like, but I'm excited to go to my home group. I'm excited now. And, you know, not everything I do in AA I'm excited to do, but when I'm done I am. You know, it's like I feel better, like, even if it's just going to a meeting. And those are things that, you know, I never would have, you know, started doing or, you know, gotten into, you know, if it wasn't for sponsorship. So, you know, for me, it's sponsorship, meetings, service work, you know, commitments like this. You know, I don't know. I'm just grateful to be here tonight, and I'm going to pass. Thank you. Thank you.